And now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Jeff O'Neill from TSN Radio in Toronto. You see him on the TSN Hockey Panel. You see him on Leafs Lunch, of course. Jeff, appreciate your time and thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Anything going on in Winnipeg, guys?
No, not a lot. You know, it's been pretty quiet. You know, just sort of usual. Jeff, before we get to obviously asking you about the Kane saga, I just want to let our audience know that according to the Jets, Evander Kane did have his shoulder surgery today, so he is officially out now for 4 to 6 months. Jeff obviously brought you on to talk about that from a former player's perspective. You know, we start with the incident on Tuesday in Vancouver. You know, was putting Evander Kane's clothes in the shower, in the cold tub, whatever it ends up being, was that out of bounds for, you know, acceptable locker room behavior?
I've seen guys rip arms off of suits, cut legs off of suits, and I'm not talking about Le Chateau suits either. I mean, it's just, the thing is, I got to tell you guys, if it was a regular practice day and somebody did that to my tracksuit, and I'm pretty sure Evander Kane wears expensive tracksuits, I wouldn't be happy. But the thing is, on the road in the National Hockey League, you're expected to wear a suit to the rink. And I would never put myself in a position, because if you do that on a game day and everyone else wears a suit, it irritates people. It's just like, why are you doing that when the rest of the team, and it's, you know, I used to sit beside Ron Francis on the bus, guys, and he would always talk about the principle of things. You know, I would say, why do you even care about this stuff? It doesn't really matter. And he would be like, it's just the principle. So guys take, you know, they think about the principle for certain things like that. And it's like, why are you wearing that to the rink? And if you're going to do it, this is what we're going to do to you to put you in line. And that's just the way things go in the locker room. It might sound outrageous to people. It might sound goofy to other people. But if you kind of go against the code of behavior, you're going to pay for it. And he did, and he didn't like it. And he should have known better. I mean, you just can't put yourself in that situation. It's ridiculous.
Jeff, we know that, you know, players talk, you know, they grow up, they play in the, you know, you play in the OHL, they play in the CHL, they play in NCAA, and they're always talking to each other and they're on different teams. Is it known around the league through, you know, all the players that Evander Kane has attitude issues?
I've talked to one player that played with him in the World Championships and said it was an act like he's never seen before. That's the only way he described him. Well, so what that means, I'm not sure. But he made a point of sending me a note to give his feedback, to say of all the players, he's never really had any issues, but that's the one guy that it was just, you know, it wasn't good, and it was, nobody liked it, and he stuck out for the wrong reason. So it's just some immaturity and some selfishness and kind of a self-belief in his own body of work, or he just thinks he's better than probably what he is, and he's got an attitude problem. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say further down the road, if he gets surrounded by some quality leadership, or, I mean, I just discussed Ron Francis. I was a bit of a yahoo myself when I was younger. But when you become in contact with a Hall of Famer, the guy that's got the second most assists in the NHL, you kind of wake up. Even guys like Gary Roberts, Brendan Shanahan, Kevin Dineen, you kind of realize that if you want the success, if you want what they got, they've done it by conducting them a certain way. I mean, they're not some of the most well-respected people in the business for being an idiot. You know what I mean? They're not trying to buck the trend of doing their own thing, being on their own program. They're ultimate leaders and guys that set examples for everyone else, not by going off and thinking that they're better than the team. And that's why, you know, I've been fortunate enough to spend time with Steve Yzerman and had numerous dinners with Mario Lemieux. It's just these guys, they don't conduct themselves like that. And that's why I'm always curious. It's like, you know, if Sidney Crosby or Jonathan Toews or Steven Stamkos, if they don't behave like that, why would anyone else think that it would be acceptable or the road to success? I don't understand why, you know, I was always a big believer in the copycat theory, where it's like if you see a guy that's respected and has success and sets records and has championships and all that stuff, wouldn't you want to kind of emulate that? Because if Steve Yzerman and Mario and Crosby and Toews and these guys don't do it, why would anybody else want to do it? It just doesn't make sense to me.
You know, Jeff, by the way, speaking of dinners, that dinner that we had in Philadelphia after the draft with Gary Lawless, I thought was one of the best dinners I've had in a while.
Probably because you didn't pay.
Jeff, you know, back to the incident. How do you think that this wasn't kept out in the dressing room and it was kept behind closed doors?
Sorry, can you repeat the question again?
You know, getting back to the Evander Kane, you know, incident that happened here, why wasn't this just kept behind closed doors and out of the media?
My only guess would be that they don't like him and they wanted it to be out, because if it was someone else that was, adored in the locker room, maybe a Bufflin or an Andrew Ladd that maybe kind of slipped up and did something silly, you choose to protect someone you really care about. And in this situation, it seems like maybe they wanted to get it leaked out because they've had enough. And I got to be honest with you, when I got to a stage in my career where I felt like I was a leader and there was ever a player, I mean, people talk. I mean, the general manager talks to players, the coaches talk to players, and sometimes they'll just ask a flat-out question, what the hell is this guy's deal? And if it's something that's painful and you want to remove from the locker room, you tell him, you say, this guy's a problem child, and we don't have the time or patience to deal with it, and we're trying to do something good here, and he doesn't fit in, and everyone's sick of it. So that's the only thing I can think of, is that he's not well-liked or respected in the locker room, because, like I said, if it was the big buff who's played fantastic for Winnipeg this year, mm-hmm. or an Andrew Ladd, I mean, I've seen guys kind of slip up and they show up late, or they, you know, and you'll do your best to get on the phone, get them at the rink on time, or, you know, where is that guy? We got to help him out. You got to bail him out. But in this certain situation, it didn't seem like anybody wanted to do that.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Our guest is Jeff O'Neill, discussing the Evander Kane situation. Jeff, you played for Paul Maurice. How do you think he handled the situation?
I thought he handled it like a coach that has a lot of experience. I mean, I had 20 goals for the Toronto Maple Leafs coming down the stretch, and Nick Antropov was coming back from injury, and he called me into his office, and there was only Sundin and Tucker that had more goals than me on the roster, and he said, you know, you might think you're playing good right now, but you're not. And when Antropov comes back in, you, along with Chad Kilger and another couple guys, and I'm thinking, is this guy serious? He's putting me in the name with these guys as somebody that might come out for Nick Antropov. And sure as hell, I was the guy that came out, and I went into his office and I said, I got 20 goals, third most in the team, and you're pulling me out. And he's like, you're just not performing to what I expect you to, and that's why you're coming out. And it wasn't a good ending for the season to me, and that's just his belief. And I'll give him credit because he sticks by his guns, and there's not enough accountability in life in general and in professional sports throughout the NHL. You know, you're talking about general managers having press conference saying, you know, the coach needs to make our players feel better. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I grew up in an era where I played in the league in an era where it's like you either do it or you don't. And if you don't, you're making a lot of money. There's got to be consequences, whether it's ice time or being in the press box. It's like if you don't have accountability, these players have so much term, so much money on these contracts. If you don't hold them accountable as far as what they're doing on the ice, you're creating monsters. You look at Phil Kessel here in Toronto, he can basically go out and do whatever the hell he wants on the ice, and he knows he's going to go back out there first up on the power play, 15 to 20 minutes of ice time a night. It's like, whatever it is, I'm going to do it, and then whatever the consequences, I don't really have to deal with anything, so I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. And if you don't get that straightened out, and I believe Paul's got that straightened out in Winnipeg where there's a code of conduct for the players, and if you're not going to do it, you're not going to play. And I have a ton of respect for that because there's just not enough of it.
Jeff, how many players, I mean, you played in the league for, you know, over 10 years. You went to the final in 02, so you had played long seasons. In the year you went to the final, you played, 98 regular season and playoff games. But even at this point in the season, 50, 55 games in, how many guys could have surgery if they wanted to?
I was put in the exact same position as Evander Kane. I had the same injury, a torn labrum in my shoulder, and I was going to be traded, and I took a face-off against John Madden, or I think that's his name, John Madden from New Jersey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I took the face-off, I blew my shoulder out, and I couldn't move my arm. I couldn't lift it. And I told the doctor, I'm like, I don't know. I can't play, and I can't get traded because I'm not going to pass a physical. And I can remember Peter Laviolette asking me in the training room, he's like, you know, I have a labrum problem too. And I said, Yeah, well, that's great. You're a coach. I'm a player. I mean, what do you got to do? Write down notes and then fire some passes in practice? You can tear whatever you want, but I got to go out there and get killed by Scott Stevens, and I can't do it, and I can't pass a physical, so I don't know really what you want me to say. It is kind of odd, the circumstances with him, how he was grinding it out, and then all of a sudden when this adversity came, he decided to kind of to end his season. So I know one thing about the NHL guys. A guy's injury, I'll never second-guess their decisions, because I know sometimes people look at you and say, are you really hurt? I know in my heart of hearts I was, but it seems kind of odd how he decided to mail it in for the season after this kind of incident happened. It's almost like saying to his teammates, well, you pissed me off, now I'm out of here, so that's the way it's going to go.
Jeff, with Evander Kane, you have a situation where whether or not he's requested a trade, they've talked about the possibility of a trade. How much blame do you think falls on the shoulders of Kevin Cheveldayoff for not moving Evander Kane already?
Well, I think Kevin was trying to do something special this year, and when you're in a division with a lot of talented players, with St. Louis, Chicago, Dallas, Colorado, I'm sure he wanted Evander Kane to be a part of the solution and not a problem. I mean, the guy's ability speaks for itself. He's got the skill set, the size, the speed, his production hasn't been after the 30 goals, but he probably thought he was part of the solution and a guy that could have helped the team. So when you're trying to, go down the stretch drive, and I'll give him credit for one thing that I have criticized him in the past, he's been extremely patient. And he probably thought Evander Kane's a talent that you don't really come across too often, and he wanted to be part of the mix. Can you bring him back in that locker room after this mess? I'm not sure you can do that. I'm sure the player doesn't want to do it, and I'm sure the rest of the guys in that locker room don't want to do it.
Jeff O'Neill covers the NHL for TSN Radio in Toronto. You see him on Leafs Lunch. You see him on the TSN Hockey Panel. Jeff, we appreciate your time, and next time you're in Winnipeg, lunch dinner's on Ezzy.
The last part was a lie, but I'll call you anyway.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.